Good morning and welcome to this episode of What the Clock. I talked over the Blog Talk Radio lady again, which that lady always kind of throws me a little bit. Anyways, today's episode, we are going to talk all about how to integrate younger chickens into an existing flock. I get a lot of questions about that. And then we're also going to talk about how to feed a flock of different ages. Because as you are probably well aware, hens and roosters, like older chickens, have a different nutritional requirement than baby chicks, right? Even growers. And it's a question I get a lot. So that is what we're going to discuss on today's podcast. If you are listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, on the Facebook page, be sure to like us and follow us there because we do give away prizes. Today, what we're going to do is something a little bit different. You have to comment and also share. And when we get to 5 shares, we can go ahead and give away that copy of my book, Chickens Naturally Raising a Sustainable Flock. It's going to be a lot of fun. So before we get started, this podcast is sponsored by our buddies at ManaPro Homestead, ManaPro Poultry. And the reason why I've partnered with them is because they have the best chicken feed on the market, I believe. You guys have seen all the live streams I've done with my Cornish cross chickens. We do feed that starter crumbles to our chickens. It's the non-GMO organic version. They also have grower feed, grower crumbles, and layer pellets that are full of calcium for your layers. And we're going to, and understanding the feed and the different feed types is important, and we're going to talk about it in today's episode. But know that if you do have a flock of mixed ages, ManaPro does have a wide variety of feeds to accommodate your flock of different ages, okay? So you can check them out at www.manapro.com. All right, guys, let me just take a drink real quick of my soda here. I have run out of Ninja Zing. It is so sad. I have to order more. I need some more to come to me, but I'm drinking this today. As we all know, Ninja Zing is the official drink of the What the Clock podcast, but I have run out and I miss them. Like, they just make my head feel clearer, right? And it's like an all natural energy drink for people who don't know what it is. All right, guys, so how to integrate younger chickens with older chickens. And this isn't something that's hard to do, but it's a little bit tricky. It can be a little bit tricky, and it's something that a lot of people who read my blog are afraid to do, or they're just not really sure how to do it, right? Or they do it the wrong way, and they throw everybody in there together, and suddenly everybody starts to fight, and then there's blood, and everybody's got, you know, holes in their skin and bleeding, and then the people freak out. So this isn't hard to do. You just have to make sure you do it the right way. So, you know, this time of year, you know, everybody's bought chicks in the spring, and now everybody's kind of grown up. They're like, what, 4 or 5, maybe 6 months old, just about to lay, but not quite at that stage, or they're a little bit younger, and you just don't want to have 2 separate coops, or maybe your chicks are older and you only have 1 coop, and you're not really sure how to keep everybody from fighting, how to do it safely, and then how to feed everybody, right? So the way that we integrate chickens on our homestead is we do it a few different ways, and it kind of depends on the group dynamics. And unfortunately, you're not going to always know what those dynamics are until you actually do something like this, right? So sometimes you will know, for example, if a certain hen is very bossy to all the other hens, you're going to know that that hen is going to have issues with new chicks coming in, right? Because anytime that you add a new chicken into an existing flock, regardless of the age, and really almost regardless of the gender, you're causing a power vacuum of sorts, right? And this also happens when you remove chickens from a flock, all right? So what ends up happening is the chickens go, there's a new chicken in the coop now. Where do I stand in the social spectrum that we have set up, right? So that's what they're sitting there thinking. So when you add a new chicken in, you're going to see the dynamics fluctuate, and you're going to see probably feathers flying in a very literal sense while they sort out what this new social structure is, okay? So for chickens are very dependent, like any creature out there, but chickens in particular are very dependent on their social structure. And that dictates things like who gets to the feed first, who gets to use which nesting box, who gets to the water, who gets to mate with who, right? I mean, so that's what's going on out there. And they're very dependent on the social structure. So the minute that you enter in a new creature or a new element into their world, they have to take the time to, come back to a new homeostasis, right? Come back to the new normal. So that's why when integrating a new chicken into your flock, it can cause some of those issues. Usually, it's not a big deal. Usually, they kind of get over it, two or three days, up to 2 weeks later, they'll have sorted it out, and it's all good, right? But that, just be aware that that is something that could very easily happen, that will happen, right? So going back to, if you have a particularly bossy hen, you're going to know that that particular hen is going to assert herself. Sometimes it's hard to know, how a chicken is going to react to a new chicken. So maybe you never had a bossy hen, but you add young pullets into there, let's say they're 4 months old, suddenly you have a bossy hen. Because now this hen has said, who are these strangers? And they need to know that I'm the one who always goes to the bull first. And then that's where you can have fights break out. So the way that we integrate them into our flock, if we're concerned about the dynamics, is we do this at night. So what we'll do is we will have like a structure in the coops where they can see each other, but they can't touch each other. Okay. This is, again, if we're concerned about flock dynamics or if the chickens are much younger and a smaller size. It's usually, you could do it at any point. I'd have people saying, well, can I put chicks in there? Can I put, 2 months old there? I get different questions at different ages, but kind of lost my train of thought there for a second. But basically what we do is if we're concerned that they're going to fight, we do create a sort of a barrier, right? So they can see each other. They can kind of touch each other through the grating or through the hardware cloth, but they can't actually get into a fight, right? And this is actually really critical to do this if you're integrating new roosters. Hey, Alex, if you're introducing new roosters into your flock, you absolutely want to do this because roosters plus testosterone plus hens that they don't know creates all kinds of drama, right? Let's go with the word drama. I was going to say a dirtier word, but we won't go with that one. It can create all sorts of drama, especially if you have an existing rooster and then you add in new roosters. That creates a whole new dynamic. So, just be sure to, if you're concerned, give them that space, that barrier where they can, where they can see each other, maybe touch a little bit, but not actively fight. And when we have done this, we have noticed that there are certain roosters. So one time, a couple of years ago, we wanted to integrate 3 new roosters into our existing flock. Wasn't the best idea. We all make mistakes, right? What we found out with this method is that one of the roosters was so hell-bent on fighting with everybody that he didn't eat and he stopped the other ones from eating, right? So had we just dumped this rooster in there, there's no telling what would have happened, right? It could have led to all sorts of fights, eyes pecked out, that does happen, that sort of thing. So by creating that barrier, that separation, you can also see, is this particular chicken gonna cause drama to such an extent that it might actually hurt the other animals, right? We would not have known that had we not, we would have found out eventually, but we would not have been able to know that safely had we not created this barrier. So you have a few options to create this barrier. You can physically just put up a barrier. I have all sorts of people contact me this morning. Or you can create, we call it a hello box. Okay, and it's kind of a cute little term, but basically what it means is it's just a square or rectangular wooden structure that's still humane, like they have enough space in it, but that physically separates them from the rest of the flock. And then obviously there's a way to get in there and out of there so they can have feed and water, right? And then there's hardware cloth where they can get air and they can see everybody and you can sort of figure out the dynamics of adding this particular chicken to your flock from there. The other thing that it does is you can put young chickens in there. So like pullets, young roosters, you can put them in there. That allows the rest of the flock to see them, to understand that there's a new flock member without sort of busting out and causing all sorts of fights, right? They can go over there, they can sniff them, you know, sniff as chickens do, right? They can peck at them to kind of understand what they are. They can, you know, fluff their feathers and fight between, you know, with the barrier between them. And it does happen. You will see, like, a rooster, for example, go up to a new hen and then start to, you know, ruffle his hackle feathers and, you know, fly at them. You know, it lets them sort of work out that social structure without being able to really touch each other. And that's critical for keeping everybody safe. Now, you can do this any time of the day. It's easier to do it at night. At night, everybody's roosting, they're quiet, they're less likely to fight. And then in the morning, you know, suddenly there's a new face in the coop, right? You can do this also during the day, especially if you're using a barrier. But night is typically when you kind of want to introduce these chickens, right? The other thing with pullets, like younger chickens, they don't really roost per se until they get a little bit older. So when they're like 2 months old, you know, they just start getting their feathers, they basically kind of just huddle on the ground at night, right? So if you put them in the coop at night, you can also be sure that they're going to be safe. Whereas, you know, if you do it during the day and you just kind of wait and you sort of just walk away, right? They're not going to necessarily know to go into the coop to be safe. So they might end up staying out all night, get eaten by a fox. And we have had that happen, right? And even in a coop that's supposedly like safe, right? We had a coop that was locked at night. We thought it was perfectly fine. And the chickens, the pullets and the young roosters, they laid on the ground. They, you know, rested on the ground instead of roosting. Skunk got in, possum got in, ripped them to shreds. The next day we walked in and it was like, what happened here, right? Did a rooster, you know? So we didn't know what happened because we thought that the coop was safe, right? So going forward, we always just make sure that they understand that they need to go into, you know, the coop at night and you need to make sure that the coop is safe and that predators can't get to it. That's the other advantage to doing it at night. You just make sure that they make it through the night, the first night safely. And then the following day, they'll be part of the flock and, you know, that sort of thing. Now, the other option is if you're not really worried about group dynamics, like let's say your chickens are very sweet and you don't have really roosters, then you can go ahead and the caveat being that your pullets and young roosters are older. So like, let's just say like 3 or 4 months older, then you can basically just put everybody in at night together. What I do recommend is putting ways for the younger chickens to get away from the older chickens. So like boxes they can hide in, or even just like bushes, just a large enough area so that if they do end up getting picked on, they at least have a place to go to kind of like rest it out, right? You're going to see chickens getting picked on, right? You're going to see fights the next day. You're going to see, you know, but they should work that out fairly quickly. The only time you really want to kind of get involved in that is if you see like blood, right? So if you see a lot of fighting, people are, you know, chickens are losing feathers, chickens are getting hurt. That's when you want to kind of intervene and say, okay, let's just get these guys out of here, isolate them, and like let's let everybody integrate without actually being able to touch each other. Okay. Michelle says, I use my old coop to introduce the new girls to the old girls. They can see each other but can't touch each other. 2 weeks of this, and I open the door to the old coop, and then they mingle. And that's the perfect way to do it. Right there. Boom. That is the perfect way to do it. What I suggest, though, is making sure that if you are concerned about the group dynamic, make sure that the chickens you're introducing are close to the same size as the existing flock. Because otherwise, if they're much younger, especially if you have roosters in the existing flock, if they're much younger, you're going to run into problems of them getting the new chickens getting picked on and not being able to really defend themselves, right? Because they're too small. They're too small and they're too inexperienced. Once they get to, you know, 4 months, 3 months might be a little bit too soon, but 4 months, at that point, they are large enough to defend themselves, so to speak. But again, you want to make sure that regardless of the age, that you do give them a place to go if they are getting picked on, that you have boxes in there, something for them to hide into, and just sort of take a breather, right? Now, the other thing I want to say about this is if you have roosters in your flock and you are concerned at all, like the roosters are very roostery, like they're very hormonal, they're very territorial, and especially if you have more than one rooster, and really, really listen to this because I'm speaking from experience, okay? Do not integrate pullets or other young chickens into the flock until they are able to actually defend themselves. We made this mistake a few years ago. We put a pullet, she was probably about 3 months old, in with a coop with, it had two roosters in it, okay? These roosters fought over this pullet and they basically killed it, okay? I didn't know what was going on at the time. This was all in the span of like 2 hours, right? So I'm sitting there thinking that my pullet's gonna be good. She's with other hens, she's learning the flock dynamics, blah, 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 blah. And I walk out and they basically just did a number on her to the point where she died. So sorry to be graphic this early in the morning, but you know, so from that I learned the lesson of if you're going to integrate young chickens with roosters, make sure that they're older and able to defend themselves, because otherwise, and make sure it's only one rooster in there, because otherwise it could just end up as a whole big mess that you don't want. Nobody wants that, right? So again, this is going to depend on the individual flock, the individual roosters. But we never in our lives would have imagined at that point that that would happen, and it did. So you might not know. I mean, and all of our roosters are good roosters, right? They're all good guys. They, you know, we only keep the roosters that are respectful of the hens, right? So they don't overmate. They don't rip them apart when they mate with them, right? Because that does happen. And it still happened that they fought over this particular pullet. So you never really quite know what the group dynamics are going to be. So that's sort of like my red flag warning about integrating with roosters. Just make sure that the younger chickens are able to defend themselves and that they're large enough to be able to accommodate the larger roosters. Okay. So let's move on really quickly with, I'm just looking at my notes real quick. Let's move on to feeding. Let me take a drink. Okay. When it comes to feeding a flock of different ages, I do get this question a lot. And the reason why is because, as we all know, layers have one specific set of nutritional requirements, and younger chickens, growers, and chicks have a different set of nutritional requirements, right? So basically, let's just sort of briefly look over, like do an overview of feed requirements. Hens that are laying, you want to make sure that they have a layer feed with enough calcium in it. And the calcium is really important in order to help them lay eggs with healthy shells. Otherwise, what they end up doing is pulling the calcium from their body over time. This leads to things like, you know, brittle bones and that sort of thing. Now, chicks, on the other hand, should have a 18% protein starter crumble. That helps them have enough protein to actually grow, to grow feathers back. And it has the, you know, basic nutritional requirements that they require from a nutrient and mineral standpoint, right? Growers don't need quite as much protein, but they still need 16% protein, but they don't need the calcium that's in layer feed, right? So this is where people are, you know, starting to get confused. How do I feed this flock where you can't give calcium to the younger chickens because it can cause organ problems? It can cause problems with organ development. But you have all these hens over here that need calcium, right? So the way to resolve this is very, very simple. You can feed, if they are older pullets and roosters, older meaning like 10 weeks and older, right? But they're not laying yet. You can feed everybody a grower crumble and then just make calcium available on the side. The nutrients in those two different types of feed are basically the same. The difference is that grower crumble has less calcium to help chickens that are growing and, you know, growing into hens. It helps them have enough protein to do that without having the calcium to interfere with organ growth. Organ development, excuse me. My apologies. I still have that cold. There's enough nutrients in there for the layers for the hens, but just give them extra calcium on the side, right? So oyster shells, eggshells that you have dried and toasted a little bit and then ground up, both of those are perfect calcium supplements. So that is the simplest way to feed a flock that has, you know, varying ages in it. Now, what happens if you have chicks and laying hens, right? Then what do you do? So, for example, you had a broody hen and she hatched out chicks and she's still integrated with the rest of the flock, right? Or maybe they were separated and now you're integrating them back. How do you do this? What I do in this case is I feed everybody a non-medicated starter feed and then just add the calcium in as a separate dish for the layers. The extra protein won't hurt anybody, like your layers, for example. It'll only help them, right? You can go up to 22% protein with chickens and you'll be okay. So you can give everybody the 18% starter feed and the chicks will be getting what they need. The hens will be getting what they need nutritionally and then minerally when you add calcium in on the side. You don't want to add it into the feed itself because you don't want the chicks getting to it, but just put it on the side in a bowl, right? And when the hens need it, they'll know what it is. They'll go off and they'll get it themselves. So that is really the simplest way to do this, okay? So just to review very quickly, 10 weeks and older, if your pullets and your young chickens are 10 weeks or older, but they're not laying yet, feed everybody a grower crumble. If they are a grower pellet, you know, whichever type you choose, right? So 16% protein grower feed. And then if you have chicks, like young chicks that are younger than 10 weeks, feed everybody a non-medicated starter crumble and then just add the calcium in separately for the hens. Now, you can go with a medicated also. What medicated chick feed means, let's just talk about that for a second, because I see so many things on the internet saying that it's wrong, okay? The medicated part of the chick starter helps them build up a resistance to parasites in the soil. So it's not an antibiotic, it's not any of that. Basically, all it is medication that helps them build up a resistance to parasites in the soil. It prevents coccidiosis. That's basically what it boils down to. So you can feed that to laying hens. A lot of people don't like to do that. It's not going to hurt them, but, you know, that's why I would just say feed a non-medicated chick starter. The chicks, if they're outside in a flock, they will start to build up a resistance to the parasites normally, right? And they'll also be able to get some resistance stuff, right? Resistance stuff from the hen itself, right? What they do is they peck at the vent. It's kind of disgusting, but that helps them in an evolutionary sort of way build up resistances to parasites in their environment. So it's up to you whether you want to feed the medicated or the non-medicated. In that situation, I personally would probably go with the non-medicated because I don't want to put medications into my hens if I don't have to, right? And hens have already built up that resistance and all that jazz, right? But that's probably what I would go with. I would probably go with a non-medicated chick starter and then just add the calcium in. All right, guys? So that's basically the deal with introducing hens or introducing chicks to hens and then feeding everybody. Sorry, guys. I'm like, it's so rainy here that it's like hard to keep my concentration. You know, when you get to that point where it's so rainy that you're tired, that's where I'm at this morning. So that's the reason why I'm kind of like stuttering a little bit. But yeah, it's not as difficult as people think to integrate the chickens together. You just have to do it safely, right? Safety first. And then the feeding isn't that hard. You just have to do it, again, safely. Make sure that everybody's getting the nutrients that they need. All right? That's our podcast for today, guys. Yay, you're the podcast. So what's going on with you guys? I'm going to turn off.